A brother has obviously prepared a message for us this night. I'd ask that each one of us would open our hearts and our minds to those words that he has for us. I'd ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for Brother Gordon McCann.
Thank you. This is a carryover from this morning from Sunday school. I did make some changes. I only got through the first 9 slides this morning, and I wanted to at least just briefly review the 9 slides, those that were not here, so you at least know where we're at. This is really a 3-part thing. I'm only going to try to get through the first part. This is my first stab in doing these kinds of things, and so it's a training lesson, and I get to use you guys as my, I don't want to say guinea pigs, my trial run. It is a teaching class, and so if there's any comments or any thoughts or if there's any critiques, please feel free to do so. I'm not going to be offended, okay? It is an open forum tonight. Typically in the evening, we have the dedicated members of the body of Christ are here, and that's what this is for. The topic is the last days, and what inspired me to put this together was basically these words that we find in the book of Luke, and they're the words of Christ in the 21st chapter. We find the words of Christ. There was a voice of warning dealing with the last days. He said, "Take heed to yourself, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth." And I don't know about you, but I find myself sometimes all balled up in the cares of this life, and I have to be very careful because I can really get myself all involved in work and everything else and just those things of life and forget my responsibilities and those things that God has asked me to do in my life. So it's for all of us, and it's for this time that we know as the last days. He calls us to vigilance. It's required for our survival in the last days. And he, in Luke, in the 36th verse, he says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." And that's basically what Brother Duane was speaking of this morning in his sermon, dealing with this probationary state that we have. We have to be very vigilant in that pursuit that knowing and understanding we'll be standing before our Lord. Then the last one is, and more in particular, what I want to talk about is look for the signs. The Lord has provided within the Scripture telling signs for us, knowing when things are going to take place. But we're not going to know it unless we research and study and look at the Word of God and then look at the world around us and see how it works. Here it's the parable that the Lord gives. He says, "He spake a parable unto them." He said, "Behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they shall shoot forth, you shall see and know of your own selves that the summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." And so that's the whole intent of this, is to show you snapshots of where we're at, things that have taken place. It's going to be more for, it'll come up really towards the Restoration and the Book of Mormon and then some of the things afterwards. It's 3 parts. How will God make bare his arm? We've seen those scriptures and that wording in the Book of Isaiah and the study that we've had. That is one part. The other part is God has a plan, and then the last one, the gift of choice. And those are 3 segments. And the only segment we're going to hopefully get finished is how will God make bare his arm? It's worded where we would not normally use those words. But if you see my long sleeve shirts and you know how a magician or whatever, you know nothing up my sleeve. Well, really, God is showing himself to the world by the things that he's going to do in the last days. And it's going to be fulfilling those prophecies that God has caused to be written by his holy prophets and those who penned those scripture verses and things that we find in the scripture, the Book of Mormon, the Bible. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. Again, this is one of the older slides, and it was where it's pretty congested and it's hard to see. I didn't correct it, but anyhow, the Lord will set up his standard to the people. We find that in Isaiah in the 11th chapter. And the particular thing there is, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. And that is part of the last day. One of those things, like dealing with the parable, when we see different things occurring, this is one thing that we should be looking for concerning the coming of the kingdom of God in the latter days. And then he says, he shall set up an ensign for the nation. And then in Isaiah, the 49th chapter, verses 22 through 23, it's quoted in the Book of Mormon several places. The Lord quotes it, but also we find in Nephi. But here we find that it says, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. So there's two things we can see there. We can see that it's going to involve the Gentiles and there's going to be a standard. Now, like I said this morning, that standard is the gospel, the scriptures that we've been given, that we're going to be judged by in the last days, okay? And so he's going to set that, he's going to bring that, and he's going to set it up before the world to see as a witness in the last days, and he's going to use the Gentiles in that role. Okay, the next one continues that thought we find in the Book of Mormon and 2 Nephi in the 5th chapter. There's several different verses in there, but we find that here Jacob says, and now I, Jacob, would speak somewhat concerning these words. And what were those words? He had just quoted Isaiah 49, 22, 23, and now he's going to explain them. Okay? And verse 23 says, the Lord has shown me unto me that they should return again. That's speaking of Israel. So he is another witness to the prophet Isaiah concerning what he said concerning Israel is going to regain their land. And then blessed are the Gentiles. The Gentiles are going to have a part of it. And then the Messiah will set himself again the second time to recover them. It's going to be the Messiah that's going to do it. And then at the end it says, and they shall know that the Lord is God, the Holy One of Israel. And that's the whole purpose behind it. That Israel is going to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And they don't know that today. And that is yet to come. But all these things are going to take place so that would help them come to that understanding. The standard and the Gentiles, those two are going to be working hand in hand. His standard will be manifested under the Gentiles. We're going to look at that part of it. In the third book of Nephi, in the 7th chapter, we find the Lord speaking at this time. And he says, I command you that ye shall write these sayings after I'm gone. So when he was walking on the earth and he was visiting those in the Yucatan area, when he was giving him those words to speak, he said, I want you to write them. And it's going to be for a purpose. And these sayings which you shall write shall be kept and shall be manifested unto the Gentiles. So speaking of the Book of Mormon, it was going to come forth to the Gentiles. And that's the words of Christ. And then I will gather them in from the four quarters of the earth. That record and the record of the Jew, as we know as the Bible, both of those in the hands of the Gentiles are going to go forth as a standard to the world. And it's going to be for the intent of for Israel to coming to the knowledge of the Messiah as that second witness, and then coming as a witness to all the world. That the Lord is making bare his arm in the last days. In the latter days shall the truth come unto the Gentiles, that the fullness of these things shall be made known unto them. So, where are we at? We have the Book of Mormon, don't we? So that's like one of those things in the parable, you know? Well, that fruit tree not only has it budded out leaves, it's got fruit on there now. Because why? Because we have the Book of Mormon, and fruit has come from that labor, and the church has been involved in. And so we see that in these last days. A marvelous work among the Gentiles. I'll stop. Is there any questions? I know I've been flying here. Am I on, not quite on the ninth one, we're still in review. Are we okay? Okay. First Nephi in the 7th chapter, we find here, it says, the Lord has lifted up his hand upon the Gentiles and set them up for a standard. And it says, these things of which are spoken are temporal, for thus are the covenants of the Lord with our fathers. It's important to note that when the Gentiles are going to be set up, it is for a temporal, it's a temporal means for Israel as well as spiritual. Temporal in that we, the United States, England, and many of the Gentile nations have been funneling money to Israel to support them and providing arms and providing those things that are necessary for their survival. And they've been an advocate for Israel. And that's why they say they are temporal in nature, because of those things that the Gentiles will do for Israel to keep them from disappearing from the face of the earth. And then it goes on to say, and at that time, that after the house of Israel have been scattered and confounded, that the Lord God will raise up a mighty nation among the Gentiles, yea, even upon the face of this land. And obviously that's the United States. And as I said this morning, we are a nation that was founded under God, and God blessed us in that founding with our Constitution and our laws, and our people have recognized Israel from the very beginning as a promised people. And then down there it says, it is likened unto them being nourished by the Gentiles, and that's where the temporal portion comes in, because of all the support physically to the house of Israel in their struggle to exist. And it shall also be of worth unto the Gentiles. So it isn't just that we're providing all this stuff and it's of no value to us. It is. We have been a blessed nation. We are, our progenitors and us, we are enjoying those blessings that God has poured out on this nation, that he might fulfill his will to Israel. Then all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arm in the eyes of the nation. It's just part of that timetable that God has for Israel and for the coming of the kingdom of God in the last days. The Gentiles become nursing fathers and mothers. Again, in the First Nephi in the 7th chapter, the Lord, he will make bare his eyes of all the nations, arms of all the nations, bringing about his covenants and his gospel unto those who are of the house of Israel. So that's our task. We have that gospel. We have the Book of Mormon, the Bible, those two witnesses. And as the Lord has led us, we've gone out to different countries and have spread that gospel. And many times, unbeknownst to us, it could be more that we may be encountering the house of Israel and not be aware of it. They shall be brought out of obscurity and darkness. That's the purpose behind it. And they shall know that the Lord is their Savior and their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. They're going to come to the understanding that God who led them through those 40 years in the wilderness and who gave Moses the law, that is Jesus Christ, their Messiah. Second Nephi, in the 7th chapter, the kings of the Gentiles shall be nursing fathers unto them, and their queens shall become nursing mothers. Again, reiterating that role that the Gentiles will have. And then it says, this land, saith God, shall be the land of their inheritance, and the Gentiles shall be blessed upon the land. So really, this land that we are here on is not, it's being borrowed by the Gentiles. It's the land of the inheritance of the house of Israel. Now, that's a very, you need to remember that all those who become part of the kingdom of God, be it Israel or Gentile, will be identified as part of that covenant people. And this land shall be a land of liberty under the Gentiles, and so it is with our land, at least until this day. For I, the Lord, the King of heaven, will be their king, and I will be a light upon them forever that hear my words. Again, that prophecy concerning this land. Now we're going to the ninth picture here. This is where we got. I've improved it now. So can you see that a lot better? Is that a lot clearer now? Okay. The fulfillment of Isaiah in chapter 29. Remember chapter 29? We find that Israel is sleeping. We find that the Lord, because of Israel's unwillingness to obey the commandments of God, and because of their pride, the Lord closed their eyes and caused a spiritual sleep upon them, where you find that Micah is the last minor prophet in the Old Testament, and that was like 400 and something BC, and you don't find any more prophets in the scripture, and this is the reason why. And so you find that they're in darkness, and he says, and they have stumbled. Have they stumbled that they should fall? I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. And that's what Paul was saying about this darkness that was going to come upon Israel, spiritual darkness, in Isaiah in the 29th chapter. And Paul says it was for a purpose and it was for the Gentiles. The next one, it says that there was going to be a book, and it was going to be sealed, and it was going to be delivered to someone who was learned. And he said, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And we find in the outline history of the church that this actually happened. Professor Charles Anthon was given some of the characters and asked to interpret them for the church before Joseph and Harris when they were putting together the writings of the Book of Mormon. And we find that he said those very words. He says, I cannot read a sealed book. And that's, you can find that in the history of our church. So that's fulfilling Isaiah in the 29th chapter. The next one was, and therefore I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. And he said, wherefore he shall bring forth his word unto them, which words shall judge them at the last day. For they shall be given them for the purpose of convincing them of the true Messiah who was rejected by them. So those words that Jesus Christ, in the earlier slides when he said, you know, I want you to write these things that I'm teaching you for a purpose. And now they've come forth, and Isaiah the prophet said that they were going to come forth, that it was going to judge those who are going to be presented those words in the future. And then you find also that it was there for the convincing them of the Messiah. And the first printed Book of Mormons were available for sale in March 1830, according to our history. So that's, again, those little stepping stones in the last days. And that's how, with that parable, think about it in the terms of that parable. The fulfillment of Isaiah in the 29th chapter continues. So for they shall be given them for the purpose of convincing them of the true Messiah who is rejected of them. You find that in 2 Nephi in the 11th chapter. And for there is save one Messiah spoken of by the prophets, and that Messiah is he who should be rejected of the Jews. It's important to understand that we have a huge Muslim contingent that says that they believe in the Messiah. They believe that Jesus Christ was a prophet, and he walked on the earth. In fact, when I was watching a commentary one time, and it was a rabbi, and there was a Muslim, and there was the Christian evangelist, we find that he was more, the Muslim was more apt to say this than the Christian evangelist. It was interesting in that conversation. But they said, yeah, we believe that Christ was a prophet, but he wasn't the Messiah. Okay? It's important to note that there was one. And that's why the Book of Mormon has come to say Jesus Christ was that one. According to the words of the prophet and also the word of the angel of God, his name shall be Jesus Christ, the Son of God, very plain and clear. There's going to be a seer that was going to be raised up in the last days. For Joseph truly testified, saying, a seer shall the Lord my God raise up, who shall be a choice seer under the fruit of my loins. Now the important thing about this, that a seer was going to be raised, remember those words in Isaiah, it said that Israel, there's going to be spiritual darkness. And the prophets were going to be, you know, basically they're going to be silenced. And now there's going to be a day when there was going to be purported a seer that could interpret records by the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. Something new. Something that God was bearing his arm in front of all the nations saying, you know, this is my power that's going to do it. And it's going to be like the days of old. And so we find those words there. And he says, I give commandment that he shall do a work for the fruit of thy loins, his brethren, which shall be of great worth unto them, even to the bringing of them to the knowledge of the covenants which I have made with thy fathers. And that fulfills all of the prophecies concerning the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. And then at the last one, it says, I will give unto him a commandment that he shall do none other work save the work which I shall command him. And that's an important thing to remember in the scripture. In the Book of Commandments in chapter 4, it says, I, the Lord, am God, and I have given these things unto my servant Joseph. That's what we have in our Book of Commandments. The Lord is testifying to him in a commandment, no different than when he was speaking to Moses or anybody else. That commandment was given. He says, he has a gift to translate the book, being the Book of Mormon, and I've commanded him that he shall pretend to no other gift, for I will grant him no other gift. And that coincides with the words that we find in the Book of Mormon that we read in 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 13. I'm going to stop here. Do we have any questions or thoughts on that? One of the things I just want to relate to you that sometimes when I study, sometimes I just go through and look at the references kind of quickly, because there's things that when you do it that way, there's things that pop in your mind, but you keep going and you start seeing pictures when you're going through the scriptures and hit certain things, and they paint a picture for you, and I'm hoping that that's what this is going to do for you. The Book of Mormon. Here in 1 Nephi in the 3rd chapter, it says, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. And for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away. We find that in Thessalonians in the 2nd chapter. And that falling away in the Greek is apostasia. So there was to be a apostasy or a falling away that darkness that is not only with Israel, it was with the whole world, okay? And that work that was being foretold in 1 Nephi in the 3rd chapter, it was going to come after this occurred. And who opposeth? And then it talks about that part of that would be there would be somebody else involved bringing this about. It says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called of God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. And we believe that's the papacy. And that brought about the fall or the apostasy or that darkness that came, a spiritual darkness in the world. The Book of Mormon continues. We find here that, and I should have underlined the key ones here for me, but I didn't. Anyhow, here in Nephi in the 3rd chapter, it continues to go. I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things, which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And that is, it says the Lamb was saying that. And we saw in the other scripture references in the 7th chapter, 3rd book of Nephi, that Jesus Christ fulfilled that particular thing that Nephi wrote. And it says, after thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle unto belief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and the power of the Lamb. Joseph Smith's testimony in the outline history of the church, he called me by name. This was that messenger that visited him and said unto me that he was a messenger sent from the presence of God to me. He said there was a book deposited written upon gold plates, given an account of the former inhabitants of the continent and the source from whence they sprang. And that's his personal testimony of his experience when he was told about the gold plates. Excuse me. And that's all, has everything to do with fulfilling of those scripture verses up there. As we continue, it says, and in them shall be written, my gospel, saith the Lamb, my rock and my salvation. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's the promise to us, of the church, as we have become the bearers of that testimony. And here, Joseph Smith's testimony, that my name should be had for good and evil. This is what he was told to him. Among all nations, kindreds, and tongues, or that it should be both good and evil spoken of among all people. And so don't think yourself odd that when you try to present the Book of Mormon that you have this pushback or that people will laugh at you or that people won't accept it. Joseph Smith was told right from the very beginning that you're going to be a target when this occurs. Okay? The Book of Mormon continued. Also, the Book of the Lamb of God, which that this has to do with the records that were going to come forth from the Gentiles. And it says, which had proceeded forth from the mouth of the Jew, that's speaking of the Bible, that it came forth from the Gentiles unto the remnant of the seed of my brethren. And then it goes on to say, I beheld other books, which came forth by the power of the Lamb of God from the Gentiles unto them, unto the convincing of the Gentiles and the remnant of the seed of my brethren and also the Jews. Speaking of the Book of Mormon and those records that are going to come forth in the last days. Okay? Again, in the Book of Mormon, these last records which thou hast seen among the Gentiles have established the truth of the first, and that first is of the Bible, being two witnesses. It follows those things, of those laws, those things that God had taught Israel, that in the mouth of two or three let all things be established. Any thoughts on that or comments? Okay. Am I going too fast? Too slow? No. The Book of Mormon. What is it going to do for us? It's going to make known to all kindreds, tongues, and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and the Savior of the world. It's also that all men must come unto Him or they cannot be saved. So there's no other way. They've got to go through Him. And they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb. So that means that everyone's going to have to come to the knowledge and acceptance of those two books, the things that are recorded in those two books. There's no other way. The words of the Lamb shall be made known in the records of thy seed, as well as in the records of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Wherefore they both shall be established in one, for there is one God and one shepherd over all the earth. And that's why we carry them as one. Here we find in the Book of Commandments, in chapter 1, the Lord speaking. He says, after they having received the record of the Nephites, yea, even my servant Joseph, might have power to translate through the mercy of God, by the power of God, the Book of Mormon. And that he might have power to lay the foundation of this church and to bring it forth out of obscurity and out of darkness, the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth, with which I, the Lord, am well pleased. And that's important to know because that's the testimony concerning the church. And we have it in the Book of Commandments. And we need to be aware that that is the testimony. That's our testimony as a church. That those things that we've read in the scripture are true because they came forth and have been recorded. In the book of Isaiah, finishing up here, as we find that, therefore thus saith the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale or be afraid. That's what that means. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear God of Israel. What do you think it means by that, that verse of Scripture, when Jacob sees these things? What does that mean to you? This is the last three verses in Isaiah in the 29th chapter, having everything to do about the Book of Mormon, the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, and God making bare his arms before the nations on earth. It's speaking of Israel, when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, meaning the seed of Manasseh, those writings that we have, they're going to be in their face, in Judah's face, and the rest of the tribes, in the midst of him, meaning that they're going to have them, and they shall sanctify. They're going to finally realize, wait a minute, now I know who he is. And that's the whole point behind it. And then it says, they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. Speaking of Israel and the world dealing with these testimonies. Okay? Any thoughts or questions on that? No? Okay, the gospel and the church restored. Here we find the words of Christ to Peter. And this is something really familiar with Brian. He uses it a lot. The Lord was saying, but whom say ye that I am? And he was speaking to the disciples. And quite honestly, at that particular time, Christ had done many miracles and things as he was traveling in Galilee and those areas. And people were saying, well, he's in the incarnate of Elijah. Or he was the incarnate of John the Baptist, because John the Baptist had already been had his head cut off. And so they were saying that's who he is. You know, there was different sayings going on. Why? Because he had already raised the dead, he healed the sick, the blind could see, all those things that occurred already. And they were not attributing those things to the Messiah. And so Christ was asking his disciples, okay, you know, whom say ye that I am? And then Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And so there was a particular transformation that occurred with Peter, that the Spirit of God rested upon him, helped him to come to that understanding that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And it says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's one of those things that the Catholic Church uses that says that they are from the beginning, and he's the foundation of it. But that's not what the Lord was, that was not the, what the Lord was talking about. He says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And that was when the Lord, after his resurrection, the Spirit of God fell upon his disciples in the body of Christ at that time, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they had all those things that they could do to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, the laying on of hands and the baptism, and all those things were given to them. And that was the king. Those were the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And so we find here, how do we support that? We can go in the Book of Mormon in 1 Nephi in the 3rd chapter. Here we find the vision, and it says, and it came to pass that he said unto me, look, and behold, the great and abominable church, which is the mother of abominations, whose founder is the devil. He said, behold, there are saved two churches only. The one is the church of the Lamb of God, and the other is the church of the devil. Wherefore, whoso belongeth not to the church of the Lamb of God, belongeth to that great church, which is the mother of abominations, and she is the whore of all the earth. So it's identifying that there's going to be two churches in the last days. And here we find in the scripture, in the Book of Commandments, for behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest, and it is the 11th hour. So back there in 1830, they were told it was the 11th hour. Okay? So what hour is it now if there's only 12 hours in a day? 5 minutes till midnight? Who knows? Anyhow, he says the harvest is white. It's the 11th hour. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you that this church have I established and called forth out of the wilderness. That's the testimony of being that we say that we are of the church, the church of God, the true church of the Lamb. It says, and even so will I gather mine elect from the four corners of the earth, even as many as will believe in me and hearken unto my voice. And then you can find that in the Book of Commandments, that that's what they were told. And that's our testimony as a church. Again, in the Book of Commandments, it says, yea, open your mouths, that they shall be filled, saying, repent and repent, and prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yea, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for a remission of your sins. Yea, be baptized even by water, and then cometh the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost. And behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and remember that they shall have faith, they that shall have faith in me, or they can in no wise be saved. That is that straight gate that Brother Duane was speaking of this morning. That's what was given to the church as recorded in the Book of Commandments. That is what Jesus Christ gave us, as we find in the third book of Nephi, in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters. That's also what was given to the Jews, we find in the scripture, and the commandment given to the disciples at the end of Matthew and Luke, where it says, you know, go out in all the world and preach these things. That is the word of God. So it says, upon this rock I will build my church. Yea, upon this rock ye are built. Speaking of the Book of Commandments. So when the Lord said upon this rock, you know, to Peter, he was going to give him the keys. That's what he was speaking of right there. It's in the Book of Commandments in the 35th chapter. He was going to build his church. And whoso have faith, you shall confirm in my church by the laying on of hands the keys to heaven. And I will bestow the gift of the Holy Ghost upon them. And the Book of Mormon and the Holy Scriptures are given of me for your instruction, and the power of my Spirit quickeneth all things. Again, our testimony of the truth of the scripture and the fulfilling of the scriptures that we have. The times of the Gentiles fulfilled, and they shall fall by the... This you can find in Luke, where I began before. And they shall be led away captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That's the words of Christ. He gives us an earmark as to a dispensation of time in the last days. We find in the Six-Day War, back in 1967, a war between Israel and Egypt, Jordan and Syria, that began on June 5th, 1967, and ended on June 10th, 1967. In the war, Israel occupied the Sinai Peninsula, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, Jerusalem, and the Golan Heights. That was about 420,000... What was it? Acres, miles? I forget, square. It was that whole area. It was that they took at that time in 1967. It fulfilled a scripture or laid open a scripture we can find in Zechariah in the 14th chapter concerning Israel, and half of it was going to fall in the first three verses. And that... the only way that that is to take place is that Israel had to regain Jerusalem. Another fact there that Israel says that they made the statement that Jerusalem is their capital. I know the Palestinians and the Arab countries don't accept that statement, but you can go on their website and they'll say it very plainly, that Israel, well, it's their capital. Okay? They are in possession of their lands. The times of the Gentiles fulfilled. It says that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And so that's kind of what we're looking at concerning that fullness. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. It's speaking of here in the book of Romans. Paul was trying to explain to the Gentiles at that time that that Israel was under a covenant that came from Abraham, and they couldn't fully understand those things. And so he was trying to help them to understand that that covenant was going to be fulfilled in the latter days, and that Israel was going to come back unto that covenant when the fullness of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And so that's what Paul was talking about there. Any questions? I see some squinting. Is that still too small? Do I need to make that bigger? Can you see it back there, Andy? Kind of. So I'm going to have to make it bigger. Thank you. I will remember my covenant unto my people at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel and shall reject the fullness of my gospel. That is another one. You can find that. And that's the words of Christ in the seventh chapter. That's one of those little key things that we should be looking for. We're seeing the seeds of that within our own nation. It has already occurred in the European nations. And we're the last vestige of this. And we're very close that the Gentiles coming in the fullness of the Gentiles being fulfilled by rejecting the fullness of the gospel. I remember my covenant people. It says, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them, speaking of the Gentiles, and it's going to be removed from them. And then will I remember my covenant, which I have made unto my people, O house of Israel, and I will bring my gospel unto them. But I will remember my covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and ye shall come unto the knowledge of the fullness of my gospel. That's the promise of the Lord to Israel, that they're going to have that opportunity to know the fullness of the gospel. And it's going to go in full force, or whenever the fullness of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And in part, I happen to feel that maybe that has already taken place with the Six-Day War. That's my own thoughts, but anyhow. So we may be starting in that beginning stages of what this is prophesying here. The words of Isaiah are fulfilled. And, wow, that's pretty good. And it came to pass that when they had all given glory unto Jesus, he said unto them, Behold, now I finish the commandment which the Father hath commanded me concerning this people who are the remnant of the house of Israel. You remember that I spake unto you and said that when the words of Isaiah should be fulfilled, behold, they are written, ye have them before you, therefore search them. And so that's why it's so important for us, as we, in Sunday school, we were searching the scriptures of Isaiah. You know that a lot of those references that I have are that I used was in Isaiah. Also, in the Book of Mormon, they quoted specific scripture verses out of Isaiah that had everything to do with them and what the Lord was going to do for them in the last days. They understood that great plan that God had for restoring them back to the lands of their inheritance and reclaiming them in the last days. Here, and verily, verily, I say unto you that when they shall be fulfilled, then is the fulfilling of the covenant of the Father, which the Father hath made unto this people. O house of Israel, then shall the remnants which shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth be gathered in. And that the last one, and the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you this land for your inheritance. Again, speaking of the seed of Joseph. Again, the other words of Christ. He says, Thus hath the Father commanded me that I should give unto this people this land for their inheritance. And when the words of the prophet Isaiah shall be fulfilled, which saith, Thy watchmen shall lift up thy voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. And that's when the fulfillment of his bearing, that will him make bare his arm. It says, the Lord hath made, notice now it says, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. So this is right at the end where he has made his point with the nations of the earth. And that's it for that segment. I don't know if that's been helpful to you, but it's, as we go through these scriptures, it reminds you of all those places where we can go and study and think about those things of the plan of God as he makes bare his arm to all the nations. Thank you.